Blog Talk Radio.
So the Pizza Hut $10 Tastemaker has any three toppings you want?
It's the best delivery deal around. Can't put a price on that.
Actually, you can. It's only 10 bucks.
Actually, it's only 10 bucks.
The large three-topping $10 Tastemaker.
No, Pizza the Hut.
It's you.
On your name I will call.
This is WBNN's nightly broadcast of The Work Is Done. We're broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. I am Pastor Cat, and once again, this is The Work Is Done. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in tonight to our broadcast. And, you know, we have another powerful show tonight where we're going to be talking about the requirements for entering into heaven. You know, one of the things that really, you know, kind of gets my goat is how people have, you know, just how man, I'll put it that way, how man has established his own way of trying to get into heaven. We call that religion. So that's our topic for tonight, you know, the requirements for entering in. So you can call in tonight at 516-453-9133, and you can press 1 to join the conversation. I know you're going to want to talk about this tonight. We're going to, you know, and really, I'm excited because I wish that we had more time because there's a lot that I know that we need to cover, a lot of information that needs to be transferred. And, you know, this is one of those topics tonight that's really going to be impactful. It's really going to be impactful because, you know, when I minister, and many of you who have known me, who have listened to me, who have followed me, you know I minister and preach from a relationship standpoint, not from a religious standpoint, because I truly believe that religion is man's way of connecting to God without God. That's his attempt. When you talk about religion, you know, you're talking about doing things from a traditional standpoint. And here's the thing. When Jesus came, Jesus did not come teaching or preaching religion. Everything that he taught the disciples, he taught from a personal experience, a personal relationship with God the Father. And what did he say? He said, the things that I do, I saw my Father do. The things that I say, I heard my Father say. See, you can only get that from a relationship standpoint, not from a religious one. So when you talk about what are the requirements for entering into the kingdom of heaven, yeah, and we're talking about from an eternal standpoint, not from how we're live our lives here on earth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm strictly talking about how do you transition? How does a person transition from mortal life to eternal life? That's what our discussion is about tonight. How does one person transition from this mortal body that we live in to an eternal body in heaven, having eternal life? What are the requirements to do that? And if you really look at what the Bible says, and see, and I can go into a whole dichotomy about, you know, how people look at scripture and, you know, how people say, well, you know, the Bible that we have is not the original, and how you got to read the old Hebrew and old Greek, and they can go into all these different facets. But for me, it all boils down to the same thing. There's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way. And it's not man who decides what that way is. That way has already been established. No matter what methodology you want to read or to study or what knowledge you try to gain, it boils down to one thing. How will you spend eternity? And what will it take for you to get there? And, you know, for me, this is not personal attacks on anyone, on anybody, on any religion, because, like I said, for me, I don't teach or preach religion. So, you know, I don't deal with it from that standpoint. When you read the scripture, there was a rich young ruler in the book of Mark. And this is why I said Jesus didn't come teaching and preaching religion. This rich young ruler, he went to Jesus and he asked him a simple question. He said, "What good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is it that I got to do?" And Jesus looked at him, and he said, "Listen, you know you know the commandments, you know, honor your mother and father, and so forth and so on." And throughout the conversation, the young man, you know, he responded back. He said, "Listen, these things I've kept from my youth." But Jesus said, "But there's one thing that you lack, because you understood the good that you must do. You understood the right and the wrong that you must do, or what you shouldn't do. But," he said, "there's still one thing that you lack." And even though he told him, he said, "Go your way, sow what you have, give to the poor, you know, take up your cross, follow me, you have riches in heaven." Even though he was telling him that, he wasn't giving him instruction in how to be poor. He was really trying to get him to understand that part of getting into the kingdom is selflessness, not leaning, depending, and relying on self through material gains. In other words, your money can't get you there. Your brand new house, how you know, your fancy car, none of that stuff is going to get you into the kingdom because you have it. Not saying that you can have it, but having it is not a guarantee to get you into the kingdom. So get rid of that stuff. Be selfless. Stop looking at the material stuff that you have thinking that is the answer, that's the key. Because it's not. And see, when he told him that guy had no understanding of what Jesus was really telling him. So the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. And then Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom." See, it's hard for them. Why? Because that's where the material stuff, the money, the cars, the houses, the fame, the fortune, that becomes a person's God. That's what they build their relationship around. That's where their relationship is established, through the materialistic things. And now that stuff takes the part of God in their life. It really becomes their God, because that's what they pursue. That's why the Bible says where man's treasure is, his heart is also. Whatever you treasure, that's what you'll put your heart into. That's what you'll go after. That's what you'll pursue. Where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. So if God isn't your heart, you know, if everything else, if you find all these other things to occupy your mind, occupy your time, then you'll be one of those. When it's all said and done, when it's time for you to transition and you stand before the throne of grace, or the throne of judgment, you'll be the one where he's looking at saying, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you." But now, so what are the requirements? Here Jesus says, you know, one of the requirements, if you go into Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Paul simply says, you know, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Let me go there and actually read that to you, because I want you to hear this requirement. Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 8, it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice in this whole paragraph that Paul is teaching, he's not talking about religion. He didn't say anything about, oh, you have to do this X amount of times a day. You have to go out. You got to talk to this amount of people a day. You got to pray this amount of times a day. You have to hand out so many tracts a day. You got to go through all these, you know, ritualistic things that you have to do or say. He's not talking about any of that in order to be saved. See, salvation gets you into the kingdom. Salvation, believing on Jesus Christ, that's what gets you into the kingdom. See, now, we're not talking about the work, the spiritual works that you can do while you're here. That's a whole different topic. Because the Bible tells us in James to be doers of the word. So there, once you have salvation, there is work that you have, that you can do. But the work in and of itself is not the requirement to get into heaven. Just like I ministered this past Sunday, about the different baptisms, water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. The Bible talks about fire baptism. But are they requirements to get into the kingdom? And the answer to that is no. That doesn't mean that we should take them for granted. That doesn't mean that we should downplay the baptism. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that people put too much emphasis from a traditional religion standpoint of having to go through these things as a requirement to get into heaven, and they are not. Okay, what is the proof of that, Pastor? If we look at the thief on the cross, remember, Jesus was crucified. He was crucified along with two thieves. One thief mocked him. Come on, man, get yourself down. Get us down, too. You're supposed to be the Savior. But the other thief rebuked the first thief and said, listen, we're up here because of what we've done, our deeds. We're wrong. That's why we're up here. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he looked at Jesus and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What was Jesus' answer to that? Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus looked at his heart. That man didn't go through any kind of, he didn't go through any kind of Bible school. He didn't go through mosque. He didn't go through baptisms. He didn't go through any of that. He simply believed and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. What was the requirement for him? To simply believe. That was it. That was it. That was his requirement. Hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to got a track coming up by the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend Brother O, and we'll be back to continue this discussion of the requirements to enter into the kingdom. We'll be back right after this.
Oh! pray to the Father, kneeling in the garden, saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, Lord, be done. Like he was, while the people mock and scorn him, like they prayed as they hung on the cross before me, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've got the way. Oh, all I need.
All right, and we're back with The Work Is Done here on WBNN and, you know, broadcasting out of Lagos, Nigeria. I am Pastor Kev. This is The Work Is Done. Tonight we're talking about the requirements for entering into the kingdom. The requirements for entering into the kingdom. And, you know, I want to emphasize that, you know, I get passionate about this. I'm not attacking any persons. I'm not attacking the belief systems of people from a religious standpoint, but what I'm doing is I'm challenging you by the scriptures, because this is what we have to establish our relationship with God. This is what we have, and it's not from a religious standpoint, because again, you know, when I look at religion, and when you read all throughout the Bible, the rebellion of God's people, we are God's people. When you look at the rebellion of God's people, what caused the rebellion most of the time? It was them trying to establish a righteousness that was apart from God. That's why they wanted to do idols and things like that. That's why, you know, when they looked at the nations that they were defeating, how those nations had kings, they wanted to have a king set up for themselves. And God said, listen, you know, I am the one who you're supposed to be looking to. I am the one who delivered you. I'm the one who set you free. I'm the one who provided for you all throughout the wilderness experience. I want to be the one that you turn to. But they wanted somebody that they could see. Remember in the Old Testament when Moses was up on the mountain And he was up there 40 days and 40 nights. He was communing with God, getting the instructions from God, getting the commandments from God. The children who were down in the valley said, man, listen, we don't know what happened to this guy Moses. We don't know if he's coming back. We don't know if he's dead. Make us an idol that we can see. Make us a God that we can see. Why? Because for 400 plus years, they were indoctrinated into pagan religion. They were indoctrinated into that. That's what they see. That's what they got to see their masters doing, worshiping idols. They didn't bring physically a golden calf out of Egypt with them, but they brought one out in their minds. So even though they were set free physically, they were still in bondage mentally. And that's what religion does to people today. It enslaves them mentally because now through religion, you think you got to jump through all these hoops. You got to go through all these ritualistic things in order to have this relationship with God. And God is telling you, you don't need to do all those things. It's not required. It's not required for you to wear these certain apparels. It's not required for you to do these certain things. It's not required. The only thing that's required of you is to have a relationship with me through my son, Jesus Christ. That's what gets you into the kingdom. When you read John chapter 14, Jesus says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then Paul here in the book of Galatians, look at what Paul says, Galatians chapter 1. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And what do you think is going on today? You have all these people popping up. People want religious titles. People want religious fame. People want religious recognition. And they're telling you, you got some of these people out here who tell you, you know, oh, well, if you give X amount of money, then that's what's going to get you in. You get this if you give X amount of dollars. See, all of that is foolishness. That is not the teachings of Christ. It's not. And it's not a requirement for the kingdom. See, in the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, It's written for your learning, that you through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So Paul now here is telling us in the book of Galatians, he says that, you know, if anybody's trying to teach you anything else, let that person be accursed. Hey, we're going to go to our caller. We've got a caller on the line. I don't want to ignore. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Peace and blessings, Brother Perry. Pastor Perry.
Peace and blessings to you as well. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm a little tired, but I'm okay. Enjoying your lesson for tonight, and I just wanted to say, you know what, something gets on my nerves because I keep getting these letters in the mail, and they're saying, well, we put a penny over here and we put a penny over here. One is for you to get blessings and the other one is for you to send back. I'm like, and then they want you to send money so they can pray for you. I'm like, they keep sending me one every week. Pastor Perry.
These are the things that I'm talking about that people buy into because they think that, you know, there's some that this is what they have to do in order to be blessed, in order to receive prayer, that somehow they have to pay for it. When it's already been paid.
Yes. Yes.
Our salvation has already been paid for.
Yes, because I remember the scripture that says, go in your closet and pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pray, you can ask for things yourself. And if the Most High want to give you those things, he will give those things to you. But man has put it so that he done put a price on it, a price to get out of hell, a price to get blessings, or to get money. And, you know, it's terrible what the religions do today when it concerns. They don't even preach what the Bible preached.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
And see, you know, you've listened to me for some time now. And
yeah.
One of the things that I always say is that I know I'm not the pastor for everybody. Because
yes.
Sometimes I can be raw, but I'm always giving the truth of God's word. And what turns people off is that when they hear the truth, it's so contradictory to what they've been taught or how they choose to live, that it's a turnoff for them.
Yes.
Because people
itchy
don't want
ears.
To be told. Right. People don't want to be told that they're living wrong. People just
mm-hmm.
want to be accepted for what they're doing, and then that's what they want their minister, their pastor, their apostle, their leader. They want them to just overlook the simple nature and just tell them, you know, well, just keep giving your money or just keep doing what you're doing and everything's going to be okay. No, it's not.
No.
And
when you go back in the scriptures and you look at the tithe situation, and it wasn't always money. It was very few times that people actually had to give money, but they gave what they raised, or the animals, or the food that they raised. And it wasn't back then. It was like it wasn't always money. They have created it where, you know, the only way you get those blessings is you give up money. But your blessings come from your repentance. Your blessings come from recognizing who the creator is.
Let me give you this on based on what you said about the tithe,
mm-hmm.
because again, that's something that misleads a lot of people.
Yes.
Yes. When you were talking in the Old Testament, their wealth was the animals and things like that. So those are the things they tithe, because
mm-hmm.
your wealth was counted in your livestock and how many servants you had, how much resources you had, you know.
Yes.
But now when you transition into the Newer Testament, and he says in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And a lot of times
right.
you have a lot of prosperity teachers and preachers want to use that just for money when it's not just for money. He says whatever
right.
you sow.
Yes.
Whether it's your money,
yes.
whether it's your time, whether it's your whatever you sow, that shall you reap. And then quickly,
yes.
just on the prayer part, when the disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray, he didn't say, okay, give me a penny.
Right.
He didn't say, well, give me some money and I'll teach you how to pray.
Right.
You know, so we got to get
yes.
away from the religious traditions of man and get back to the scriptures, because the scriptures will never leave you wrong.
That's right. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know I love you.
Yes, I love
oh,
you too. We got a track coming up next by our International Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O. We want to thank Mr. Best, who is Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee.
For grace.
Pastor Kev here, and we're back with The Work Is Done. I want to once again thank my sister, Sister Bessie, the truther. She is the Internet, International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee. Her show, The Front Porch, broadcasts this coming 24th, June 24th. Please call in and support her. Tonight we're talking about the requirements for entering into the kingdom, not from a traditional standpoint, but from a relationship standpoint. And, you know, and you guys, see, it's not often that I'm on here and I get kind of worked up, and it's not to get people emotionally stirred. I don't believe in the emotional stirring of people, because the word should be enough. So I don't believe in the religious antics and things like that, just to get people hyped up. You'll never get that from me. But for me, there are times when I get passionate, and it comes across because I want people to understand, and I want people to stop getting fooled by foolishness. You know, and when you deal with tradition, that's what you get. You get a lot of foolishness. And people today are still caught up on what they can eat or what they shouldn't eat, what day they should go to church, what day is the Sabbath, oh, is it Saturday, or well, the Catholics changed it to Sunday, and he said, remember the Sabbath. You know, here's the thing. God does not change. We understand that. Jesus says, you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. I am the Lord. I changeth not. But his methodology can change. How he chooses to do things can change. His character, his nature of who he is will never change. He will always be the same loving God. He will always be the same merciful God. He will always be the God who offers you grace. He will always be the God of righteousness. But how he does things may change. Example, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, they would kill the lamb and smear the blood over the doorpost. And the death angel would pass over when he saw the blood on the doorpost. How many of you are still killing lambs and spreading blood over the doorpost? What? No, we're not doing that anymore. There's been the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, whose blood now is recognized when we're covered under the blood of Jesus. That's what gives us our protection. So the methodology had changed. When you read Jeremiah 31:31, he says, a new covenant I will establish. So if he's establishing something new, then that means something old has to be done away with. You can't have the new and the old operating at the same time. So when you look at, you know, in the 3-year ministry that Jesus had, when he was teaching his disciples, he never taught them to about the Sabbath, honoring the Sabbath. That's just biblical. But you got people getting caught up. Oh, well, you're wrong if you worship on this day. You're wrong if you do it on that day. But what did Jesus teach? He said, listen, I'm the Lord of it all. One man esteems a day, another one esteems every day of life. He said, but I am the Lord of it all. The Sabbath was made for man, not the man for the Sabbath. But see, when you get into religion, religion will tell you that you have to do something a certain way. That's what religion will teach you. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. We have to get away from religion. Here's another thing that Paul said in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And when he talked about following the traditions. Look at what he says here. He says in verse 11, chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who was Jesus Christ? Well, in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who? Jesus. So it came. So Paul is saying this revelation came. It came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, "For if you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the Church of God beyond measure, and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." That's what Paul was about. He was about, and he said it. He says, I was zealous, exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. The traditions of man make the word of God of no effect. If you're bound by your tradition, you make the word of God of no effect. How many religions do you know practice traditions? Don't eat this. And let's just go there. Let's talk about pork. You shouldn't eat pork. Well, some people shouldn't eat it because of health reasons. But it has nothing to do with you getting into the kingdom. Jesus said, nothing that goes into the mouth defiles a body. Nothing. So why are people getting caught up on that? Why are people still so hung up on what are you putting in your mouth when it has no consequence as to whether or not you enter into the kingdom? This is what we're talking about tonight. The requirements for entering into the kingdom. Nothing that you put in your mouth defiles the body. He said only what comes out, because what comes out comes from your heart. So he's really talking about what you're speaking. What is your conversation? Are you having godly conversation or are you having worldly conversation? Because that's what defiles you. Are you speaking evil against your brother? Are you speaking blasphemy against God? Are you speaking against the Holy Spirit? That's what defiles the body, not what you put in it. Focusing on what God said and not what man said. And people, and here's the thing. Well, God said it in the Old Testament. That was for a certain group of people for a certain time. It has nothing to do with the New Testament church. Nothing. How do we know that, Pastor? Because look at the vision that he gave Peter. And what did Jesus tell Peter? He said, man, you are the rock. On you, I'll build the foundation of the church. Peter, you are the rock. I will build the foundation of the church upon you. So he gave Peter the vision of different stuff coming down from heaven, different animals and stuff. And he said, Peter, eat. And Peter said, no, nothing unclean has ever touched my lips. And God said, don't call anything that I have made unclean. Change? Did the methodology change? Yes. Why did it need to change? Because people get caught up in trying to understand and do one thing one way all the time, and the focus now is taken off of God and it's just put on doing the thing. Come on, y'all got to catch this. But we'll be back after this track.
Fastest man on for the asking. That's what you've done for me.
Hi, Pastor Kevin Perry. It's Jerry Petito. I'm on fire with you tonight.
Hey, Sister Jerry, how are you doing? Hey, listen, let's not put that fire out.
I needed this tonight so bad. That's all I'm going to say, okay?
All right.
I have a couple things I want to share with you. I'm going to be reading a little bit of my poem, my Christianity poem. It talks about religion. But before I do that, I have something really cool to tell you. God is so good. I congratulate you, Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry, on your WBNN all-time connection record with your 18th all-time with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship. Let's honor our late Hall of Famer. May she rest in peace. Congratulations.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So I would like to be honored by you for allowing me to read a little bit of this poem.
Okay.
Okay, it's called Christianity, and it's in my book. So many religions have surfaced today, most of us wonder which one's the right way. Being brought up Catholic, I wasn't a fan. I always struggled with listening to man. Religion is false as can be, was made by man and not by he. Man-made rules to cost a fee, the price of Jesus to you is free. I just wasn't buying the crap that they said. My salvation's in Jesus through his blood, he said. Not sacraments and giving cash, confessional boots and Wednesday ash. These rules they speak of are all man-made. If you open the Bible, man's words will fade. You won't find them in there because God said it clear. You won't work your way into heaven, my dear. Most big religions have put God away. They want your alliance and what you can pay. With Jesus nailed upon that cross, before his last breath he took, his words were spoken for us to hear. It is finished, and left us his book. I tell you the truth, there's only one God. When you take your last breath, he'll greet you and nod. I hope you are ready to meet him that day. Want to hear him say, well done, instead of casting you away. My works are just worthless. I'd end up in hell. That's why God sent Jesus. Now in heaven, I'll dwell. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well said. You know, I wish I had time to dissect that poem because there was so much meat in there. And yes, you're right. Everything that I've talked about tonight, you kind of hit on. But I wish we had time to go in depth in some of the things you said because it would definitely bring understanding to a lot of people who are listening, especially to those who are still in the Catholic religion. And the only thing that I'll say about that is this. You do not have to go to man to ask for forgiveness of anything. Jesus said you can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why he came, so that we can have the personal relationship with God through him. And he said, whatever you ask the Father, God, not the Father man, not the one that's wearing the collar sitting in the little telephone booth thing. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. And then he said this, put no other man before me. So why is it that in that religion you pray to saint this for that, or you pray to saint this for this thing if you want, and this saint over here, and that saint over there, you go to all these people other than God. And people,
you're right.
they just continue to follow, like, you know, see, that's why we're referenced in the Bible as sheep, because sheep just blindly follow the leader. Whoever they think the leader is, that's who they follow. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the strangers they won't follow. So I appreciate the poem that you read. I wish that it could be printed here on the radio where people can have access to it. I know you say you have a book. Tell
Pastor,
the people quickly about,
you know,
your
what
book
I'll do,
and how they
but
can
listen,
get it.
Pastor, I will email you both poems, religion, the one, Christianity and Jesus, okay? Because I kind of like combine when I read them. I'll email them to you. Get me your email, okay?
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I absolutely will.
And feel free to use them. Feel free.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you. Another International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever, Sister Jerry Petito. Call in, check out her show as well here on WBNN. Awesome woman of God. Awesome overcomer. That's what she is. She's an overcomer. She's walking in victory right now through her relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to go back to the call lines. We have another call on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Pastor Kev. This is Ava Holly. How are you? I enjoyed Jerry's poem, and I'm enjoying listening to your message.
Sister Ava, I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you for calling in. What do you think about our topic tonight?
Well, I think it's interesting because I think it's very much needed to talk about, and I love your message. Yet I think that the main message that you're getting across goes for any religion, goes for anybody, because I think if you believe, like you said, it doesn't matter what you believe. It matters that you believe and that there is no requirement. So I really love what you're saying, and I love to apply it to what I believe, and really enjoying it.
Amen. Well, Sister Ava Holly, I thank you for calling in tonight. You know, my goal for doing these radio broadcasts is for people to gain understanding for where they are in life. Because I understand mm-hmm. that everybody's not at the same level. Everybody's not at the same pace.
Right.
And everybody has their level of understanding. But if we can...
Wait.
Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. We said on my show one time, and it applies to anything in your life, don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle, you know, and it works with everything, you know.
Yes. And I remember calling into your show, and you said that when I called in, and I thought...
Oh, yeah,
I was
that's
like, wow.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I was like, my God, that was so powerful. Say that saying again because I hate messing it up. Don't compare.
Don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle.
Wow. I hope everybody that's listening is catching that. Don't compare your beginning with somebody else's middle. Wow.
Well, love
hey,
you. Love the work you're doing. Love your message. And I just wanted to call in and support your show.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Ava. I appreciate you so much. Hey, we got another track coming up. We'll be back with The Work Is Done right after this.
Do it!
Yes, thank you, Lord. We're back with the work is done. Caller, going to the phone lines. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Welcome to the work is done. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, that caller sounded like Antonia Batch. I don't know. Who's on? And you know what? I know about this caller here. This caller has a bad, bad turn with headphones. Caller, we're going to give you a little more chance to get on here. Okay, we can keep on going. We'll bring that caller back on. And then we have another caller right here. Pastor Terry. And this caller's been waiting right there. Oh, you know, that's an inside joke with Antonia Batson, just like the inside joke with Andrew Presley falling out in the spirit. Caller number five.
Hey, peace. Pastor Kev, how you doing? Congratulations.
Thank you, Brother Magic Man. You know, I was sitting here tonight. I said, I know with this topic, my man Magic Man has got to call in tonight. How are you,
brother?
Oh,
yes. I'm doing excellent. I really, really appreciate the divine message that you've been used to share with all of us tonight. And I definitely, I'm always happy, you know, when you're able to get a championship, even though I know that, you know, you came on with us, not necessarily to just get championships and stuff like that. You came to deliver a message, and you always remain focused. But it's always great when so many listeners have a chance to listen to you. And right now we got an overflow of well over 15 million who heard an on-time message for you. I also want to say personally thank you so much as the family, the Ford family, you know, going through their bereavement. You know, thank you so much for just being who and what you are. I really, really appreciate you, man of God, okay? And as far as DJ Olasky putting on that music like that, I might have to treat him to a plate of a vegan scrapple.
Man, shut up.
Love you, too. Thank you so much, man of God. Look, I'm going to put it on pause and listen to the rest of the show, okay?
Amen. Hey, listen, I appreciate you so much. Prayers are with you, the family, during, you know, this time. You know, just praying that the Comforter will do what only he can do best, and that's give you peace that surpasses all understanding and give you comfort during this time. That was the brother man, Magic Haru.
Yeah, Sam. The International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcaster, Lifetime Achiever Elect. How about that one, Pastor Terry? And the reason why I came back on is finally I hope that this person got the electronic technicians together. We've been having some situations, but of course we'll bring her back on. Call number six.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. Praise the Lord, Pastor Perry. This is Dr. Chinchilla J. How are you tonight?
Listen, you had to break that thing down in song, huh?
Yes. I am truly enjoying your show. You know, you were talking about, you know, what does it take to get an eternal life, you know, and that's it in a nutshell. John 3:16. And that's a song I wrote like way back when all my kids were little. And we used to do that song all over. And, you know, that scripture is there. If people look at that scripture, Pastor Perry, and if they really knew what it meant, okay, because, number one, if you believe that God gave his only son, his only begotten son, if you truly believe that, and then if you believe in his only begotten son, who's Jesus, if you believe that, then you would definitely, you know, do what's right in the sight of God and do what it takes to enter into his kingdom and have eternal life. everlasting life. And, you know, it's so important. But so many people, they quote that scripture. They say, you know, they believe in John 3:16, yet they're going around not living John 3:16, you know, because right. John 3:16 is all about love, because showing the love of God, how much God loved us. And so that's what we're supposed to do, portray that same love that God portrayed, you know, by giving his son, you know, to forgive us of our sins, that we would no longer have to go and kill a ram or a lamb, you know, for our sins to be forgiven. And, you know, yeah, we don't have to go to a priest and sit up and confess our sins to a priest. We go to God through ourselves now. Jesus paid that price on the cross. And we have to believe that in our heart and know also in his scripture, you know, another scripture I love, it talks about who shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they don't really look at that scripture, but, you know, the word of God says he that has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, to have clean hands and a pure heart, once again, that goes right back to love, to the love of God, because our hands will be clean if we're portraying God. And our heart would be pure if we have the Spirit of God on the inside. So that is so important, to have God's Spirit on the inside. And another thing I like, you talked about the church and these prosperity preachers. And, oh, my goodness, yeah, these prosperity preachers, they need to stop. They want to bust hell wide open because, see, they try to tell people, you know, to sow a certain amount of money, you know, and everybody don't have the kind of money some of them want people to sow, you know. And they do this to make a profit. And I call them, you know, the prophetic people, because I call them, well, the prophets. I call the prophets that do this. They have prayer lines, and they want to prophesy to people, and then they call them up. $100 prayer line. Everybody get $100 in your hand. Come on up here, and let me pray for you. Let me lay my hands on you. No, that is not of God. And people that are sitting there that needs prayer, they don't have that $100. And then they'll say, okay, now people with $50, and they'll go down to $20. But what about the person that only has a dollar, okay? What about the woman with 2 pence, okay? And so, you know, they're just doing it all wrong, and they're definitely not men of God to do it that way. So they're prophets trying to make a profit. And then we have the pastors that want to prostitute people's gifts, you know? And it's not about that. You know, it's all about God teaching the word of God so that people can live holy and be holy and, yes, make it into heaven. And so it's just so sad today, Pastor Perry. But I am truly enjoying your show. And Sister Bessie and and Ava and Jerry and Hooney. And I'm going to continue to listen to the rest of the show. And, also congratulations on your 18th. All-time connection record, Pastor Perry. I'm so excited for you.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
You know,
you're welcome.
And once again, you hit on a lot of things. You know, when I talk about pastors who, you know, do the things that you were saying, you know, what they call the prosperity teachers, and preachers and things like that, the different prayer lines. You know, I've been in ministries that have done that. And for me personally,
mm-hmm.
I always looked upon that negatively, because it looks as if you're only after the money. And I've been in ministries, they start with a $1,000 line, and like you said, they go down to a $500 line. And those of you that got $100 stand in this line, and it's like, okay, so you're telling me, because I'm standing here with $10, I'm going to not get the same blessing that the person got with the $1,000?
Right.
Is that how God is working now? I'm going to get a lesser blessing? See, because I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus taught. He said, you know, the owner of the field went out first thing in the morning and hired people to work in the field. He said, will you agree to work for X amount of dollars? Yes, we'll work. And he did that all throughout the day. And when he got to the end of the day, he hired the same people. He hired more people and paid them the same wages. The people he hired in the morning got mad.
Right.
How are they getting the same pay that we are?
Right.
We've been here all day. They've only been here an hour. He said, wait a minute. This is my money to give. And you already agreed for the price. So there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
So how come I don't get the same opportunity that the $1,000 person gets?
Right,
see,
exactly.
And when I look at it from that standpoint, you know, that's what the term – and see, and people look at that and they group all churches together. Well, if they're doing it, then all churches must do that. All
mm-hmm,
pastors
mm-hmm.
like that. And it's unfair to the people. It's unfair to the other men and women of God who are out here for the sole purpose of presenting the gospel. Brother
yes.
O wants to come on.
Yes.
Brother O, what you got?
Well, first of all, I'm glad my commissioner is here, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J, as well as the Right Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry. I'm going to say something real quick and then bring on another call. I want to thank our commissioner for being on our program tonight. And she'll be back with some dozy time later. Let me explain something to you. A lot of times, Pastor Perry, when you have a lot of different shows on internet radio, right, they don't take the Christian one seriously. That's why Pastor Perry is here. We have a whole lot of different opinions on this stage here tonight, right? And then I'm talking about as in the whole WBNA. We have variety shows. We have spirituality shows. We have controversial shows. You know, we even had Lesbian Gay Task Force community shows, right? We honor all folk, right? But when it comes down to the ones that's promoting Christianity, we scoff and we laugh and think it's a joke. That's why Brother Perry is here, because he has been diligent for almost 3 years on this network, being the same Pastor Perry. For people like Sister Betsy to come on and you know, she don't take flying stairs with anybody. When it comes down to Pastor Perry, that's her brother, and that's a high endorsement. You know, Kevin, I want to thank you, you know, for what you've done for us on a constant basis. And making this show not only legitimate just as a show, but legitimate in the eyes of the people around the world that deem it necessary for this message to be put forth. I'm going. Bring the next caller. That's it. That's it.
Amen. All right. Next caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello. How are you, Pastor Perry? I just wanted to call to support you. I didn't get to hear enough of your show to comment, but I did want to say it's good to hear from you again. So you have a blessed evening. And this is Antonia Batts, in case I didn't announce myself in the very beginning.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sister Antonia. We're simply talking about the requirements entering into the kingdom of heaven for eternal life. And, you know, I thank you for your support, as always. Thank you for taking the time to call in. I pray that your evening is blessed, as well as all the other callers that have taken the time to call in tonight. And everybody that's out there listening, you know, I want to thank Brother O. You know, I met this man, you know, out with my grandson one day, and we just got into conversation, and I was telling him who I was and some of the things that I was doing. He said, man, I got this internet radio show. I would love you to be a part of it. And I already got the title of the show. The title of the show is called The Work Is Done. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome, you know, because the work is done. The work has been done. And it just resonated with my spirit. So, you know, yes, I've been a part of this network now going on, I believe, 3 years. And it's a wonderful ride, and it's not something that, you know, I take for granted, because, you know, the Bible says if just one person comes to repentance, all of heaven rejoices. If just one. So I don't take what I do lightly, you know, and I pray that, you know, nobody gets offended by the word. But if you are offended because of the word's sake, it's not because of me personally. You're offended with the word, because what I minister from the word. See, that's why I take you, if you were a member of my church, you know, you have to come with a Bible, because we're going to read the Bible. We're going to go from scripture to scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm not going to read one scripture and then preach for 2 hours like some churches do. No, we go through the Bible. I encourage you to read the Bible. I encourage that, because that way you're not just taking my word for it. You get to see it for yourself what the scriptures say. And then I can correlate the New Testament, old prophecy, new prophecy, prophecy that's yet to been fulfilled. But you have to have that understanding. And that's why messages like this are important for everybody to hear. White, black, red, brown, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've been taught, because sometimes, you know, we're held in bondage by wrong teaching. And then when right teaching comes along, sometimes that's rejected by people because it's not what they're accustomed to. But that's why I encourage you to read it for yourself. Never take the word of a man, female included in that, male or female. Never just take the word of a person that tells you what it says. You have to know this word. Here's the thing. You have to know God for yourself. That's why it's called a personal relationship. You have to know him for yourself. Grandma can't get you into heaven. Grandma prayed for you, but she can't get you into heaven. Your mama prayed for you. She can't get you into heaven. Or even if she didn't pray for you, it doesn't matter. They can't get you. You don't go to heaven based on their merits and what they've done. You got to get there by yourself, because that's who you're going to stand before the throne with. It's going to be you. It's not going to be you, boo-boo, Ray-Ray, Auntie, Mama, Grandma. It's not going to be none of them. It's going to be you. And who's going to have to give the account? You are. You have to give the account. So listen, we're going to bring on Brother O. Thank you, everybody, for your continued support. Continue to support this network, WBNN. Continue to support all the other hosts that are here on this network, because people have a voice. Hey, Brother O, it's your time.
Well, first of all, I don't come on unless it's a championship. You know, I have a whole commission to give in Goki time now. So if you don't hear me on, it's a championship. So it's what it is. So congratulations to Pastor Kevin Perry on his 18th WBNN All-Time Connection record tonight for the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship. I'm so proud. Thank you so much for what you have done for us on a constant basis. Hey, Commissioner, it's in Goki time.
All right, all right. Again, Pastor Perry, an awesome show tonight. And again, congratulations on your 18th All-Time Connection record. And I truly enjoyed the show. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi _ time, at Oladele Malewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.ngozi@my.com for our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi. I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now back to the pastor tonight, the Right Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry.
So, you know, tonight we've talked about the requirements for entering into eternal life. And, you know, Dr. Chinchilla, she gave one of the best scriptures that clarifies it to the T. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to continue this next time, and we're going to talk about the work that needs that should be done while you're here, because that's just as important. But just to say, man, I want to make it into the kingdom, you simply have to believe. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, we read it tonight, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For confession, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, man believes. So if that's you tonight, and you say, listen, I've been self-made, I've been doing things my own way, my own style, but nothing really seems to last. Tried different things, and I've tried religion, and religion doesn't work for me. I'm not offering you religion tonight. I'm not offering you religion. I'm offering you a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you want to start that tonight, simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And fill me with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that tonight, it's time for you to start a new journey, a new chapter. Allow the old things to pass away so that all other things can become new in your life. This is Pastor Kev. The work is done. We'll see you here next time. God bless.